Great to be with you tonight, and I wanted to start with this story. Back in 2008, a friend of mine named Brad, him and I decided we were going to take a little road trip for the day and go out to Dyersville, Iowa. You're like, what is in Dyersville, Iowa, besides some corn? And the truth is, it's a baseball field in the middle of the corn, right? It's the Field of Dreams. And I got a picture here to show you. There it is there. That's kind of the aerial shot there. And we go out on a Monday, and there's no one there but the two of us. And so we're having a great time. We're running the bases, playing catch, hitting fly balls, hitting ground balls, pitching to each other. And about halfway through, a guy shows up and probably about low to mid-60s and says, hey, can I, you know, play with you guys? And we're like, yeah, that'd be great. So let's take some batting practice. Let's throw the ball around. So we're, the three of us, just kind of playing for about an hour or so. And at the end of it, we end up on the pitcher's mound. And we're just kind of talking. And as we're kind of chatting and talking, he says this, and I wrote this down years back because I didn't want to forget it. But he said, and I quote him, he said, you know, my dad always wanted to take me here, but he died when I was 13 before he could. And so this was the first time I've wanted to come. Thanks for making this a reality. I know he's in heaven looking down. Now, what a great opportunity for me to be able to speak up for Christ, to be able to share the truth of Jesus Christ, that to make sure he knew that Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him, but I didn't. We're standing there, we keep talking. He goes on to say, I got to tell you guys, he says, I've passed by this field hundreds of times, but today was the day I knew I had to stop. You talk about like a lob softball pitch for me, just to say something, Mark. Speak up. Share the truth of Jesus Christ to this man right here. But I didn't. I don't know if I was afraid of rejection or if I was embarrassed because I felt like I didn't know him or if I was just too focused on me on a day off, but I failed. I failed God on that ball field that day. He wanted to use me, and I didn't speak up. Now, God's grace is sufficient for me in those moments, praise God, but I say this to you guys, I don't want to miss it again. I don't want to miss those opportunities to be bold and to stand up and to share Jesus Christ, to speak up for him. And I'm sure as I tell you that story about me, we all can relate to that. Because every one of us have had times in our lives where we didn't choose to stand up for Jesus Christ, or we didn't want to be associated or linked with him. Maybe we were fearful of rejection. Maybe we just couldn't get the words out. We didn't know what to say. Maybe we thought the cost was going to be too high, that it was going to cost me my reputation or my position. So whether it's at home or at work or at school or in any social context, we've all had times where we're ashamed to speak up for Jesus Christ. And no, you're not alone in that. I mean, even the disciples, right? We could go to Matthew 26. And even the bold and brash Peter denied Jesus Christ. He didn't speak up for him in that moment. And so look, we've all had times where we've said nothing when we should have said everything. So how do we do it? How do we stand up courageously for Jesus Christ? How do we stand up for the name of Jesus Christ consistently? Well, go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's going to tell us here. And he writes to Timothy, his true son in the faith. He's going to share some things with us about being bold for Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be in verses 8 to 18 tonight. And on your notes there, we've got this three truths about standing up for the name of Jesus Christ. Let's get into this here now. It's number one is this, be faithful. Be faithful. Stand up for Christ regardless of the cost. And so look at verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Look, as Paul writes these words, he sits in a cold, dark dungeon of a prison cell awaiting his death. He was under persecution from Rome. He was arrested as a criminal. He was abandoned by most. Only Luke was with him, it says. And Paul is very much anticipating his execution. This is not like his first imprisonment, where he's under more of a house arrest, and it's comfortable, and he's very optimistic about his release and freedom. No, this time Paul knows, guys, this is it. This is the end of his life coming here, at least the end on earth. He's looking down the barrel of the gun, so to speak. His time is just about up in hours or weeks or days, we don't know. But he's gonna have his head chopped off for Christ. And he knows it. He says in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, just later in the letter, he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. He says, and the time of my departure has come. He knows it's coming. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so we need to understand that as we look at the context here, is this is it for his words to Timothy. These are his final marching orders. He's passing the baton, so to speak, and he's telling him, don't back down, be faithful, stand up for Christ, be on mission here, Timothy. And what a charge this is. Three times Paul says, do not be ashamed, just in these verses. Go ahead and take a look at that. In verse 8, I already read that one. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Drop down to verse 12. He says, I was appointed a preacher and a teacher in verse 11. Then he says, which is why I suffer as I do. You can underline this. But I am not ashamed. Drop down to verse 16. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. So that's what's at the heart of these verses here to young Timothy. A call to stand up and to be bold and to be faithful and to count the cost, to stand up for the name of Jesus Christ. Now, back to verse 8. Therefore, okay? Therefore, do not be ashamed, right? There's our connector. What's the therefore? Therefore, it connects us back to verses 4-7. And in verses 4-7, Paul had already told Timothy to do this, to remember his godly heritage, to not forget that, and to use his gifts, actually to fan them into flame. He means to get them burning again, Timothy. Get them roaring again for God. You're on low heat, Timothy. Get it high heat again. I don't want to see a small, tiny little coal. Get it roaring again for God. White, hot blaze. And then he tells him in verse 7, not be afraid. Look at verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Guys, God has not given us a spirit of fear. We could say it this way, fear is not from God. Okay, but instead he's given us the Holy Spirit, which gives us power. Power for life and ministry. Love, unconditional love, the love of Christ that compels us for others. Self-control of our thoughts, a disciplined mind. We have God in us. And so Paul's telling here, do not be ashamed. Therefore, Timothy, do not be ashamed. Paul's saying this, look, you have all you need from God, Timothy. You have everything you need to serve God, to stand up for your Savior. Don't be ashamed. Suffer well. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of me, his servant. but suffer for the gospel. Share in suffering for the gospel. Count the cost and be faithful. It's going to be worth it. And here's the thing. Let's talk about Timothy now. He's a young pastor, maybe in his mid-30s. And he's timid. He's a little unsure of himself. He's shy. You could say even a bit fearful. In fact, back in 1 Corinthians 16:10, Paul said to those in Corinth, he says, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease. So it gives us a little more information about Timothy here. When he comes, church, do this. Put him at ease among you, for he's doing the work of the Lord as I am, Paul says. So Timothy is a bit fearful. Maybe it's from the false teachers that he has to, they're coming up and opposing him. Maybe as a young guy, he's learning the difficulty of what it is to preach and teach and lead on a weekly basis, or even this. Maybe it's because he's learning what it means to live a sold out life for Christ in a martyr's world. Maybe it's all the opposition, all the spiritual attack, all the struggle. Maybe it's all of that for Timothy. It's also important to know the time the letter was written, right? To identify with Jesus Christ brought huge criticism, persecution, many times imprisonment as we read through the New Testament, and even death as we see. So Timothy's a little fearful to stand for Christ and maybe a little fearful to associate with Paul, because back then if you associated yourself with somebody who was, right, being persecuted for their relationship with Jesus Christ, you also could be killed along with them. You were considered a willing accomplice. And so back then it was like, what, whole families were put to death for their stance for Christ, and friends were put to death for your stance for Christ. It's why Peter didn't want to associate himself with Jesus that night. We said that already in Matthew 26. So what does he say? I never knew the man. I never knew him. Right? He's afraid that he's going to get punished with Christ. And so Timothy, right, we got the picture now, is a bit fearful, potentially wavering in his ministry, not using his gifts, not standing up, forgetting that he has God's power in him. And so Paul is exhorting him here now on his final letter to his son who he loves so much. And he's telling him, look, be faithful, son. Be courageous. Stand up. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed to identify yourself with Christ or to identify yourself with me as God's servant. Suffer well. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel. This is the most important part now. I want you to underline this. By the power of God. He didn't just say, stand up and don't be afraid, but by the power of God. Underline that. Share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. If you sit here today and think to yourself, I can't do that, you're right, you can't. This is Christ in us. And so the moment we begin to see in ourselves anxiety, hesitancy, uncertainty, a little bit of worry, look, we know this. Our focus is too much on ourself and on our own human resources instead of on God and his power in us. This is Christ in us. And so he says, suffer for the gospel by the power of God. We can't muscle this. We won't stay faithful apart from abiding in Christ. And so we have to stay connected to an abiding, living relationship with Jesus Christ, relying on his grace, trusting in his promises, walking with him day by day, moment by moment, resting in God's sovereignty over our life, even in our suffering, that God's in control, that he's on the throne, that no one's knocking him off the throne. Guys, through faith in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we have every resource available to us to bear up under the suffering in this world as we stand for Jesus Christ. God will give us all that we need. It says that his grace is sufficient moment by moment. We can stand up for the name of God because we have God in us. God has given us the power to do that, to be courageous, to suffer for his name. Go ahead and just write this down in your notes. It's kind of the summary of where we're at right now. I just wrote this down. This is courage for God, given by God, all about the glory of God. Right? That's kind of our summary here. This is courage for God, but given by God, all about the glory of God. It's why the theme verse for this whole letter to Timothy could be 2 Timothy 2:1, where he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You see? It flows chapter 1 right into that. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Courage for God in our lives, given to us by God, Holy Spirit living within us, power in us. All about the glory of God as we stand and lift high the name of Jesus Christ. Many faithful Christians before us have been persecuted, beaten, tortured, given their lives for Christ. We could read through Hebrews 11 and see that as they longed for their heavenly city. You could read through the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I did that this week and read of a preacher by the name of Metrodorus who was burnt alive. A young believer by the name of Germanicus who was fed to wild animals. A Christian woman by the name of Felicity who had a family of 7. Years back, they all gave their life for Christ. Her oldest son was scourged and pressed to death with weights. Her next 2 sons had their heads crushed with clubs. Another son was thrown off a very steep overhang. The younger 3 sons were beheaded. The mother was beheaded with the same sword. They all gave their life for Christ, standing for Jesus Christ. We could go on. We could give modern day examples. They counted the cost. So ask yourself now a question: how often do you stand up for the name of Jesus Christ? What are you willing to bear up under to honor the name of Jesus Christ? Will you be faithful no matter the cost that comes at you today or years down the road? Jesus Christ gave his life for you. Are you willing to give your life for him? And I don't mean just in his death, but in your life, right? In every part of our daily worshipful life that reflects him and shows him off to a watching world. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, verse 8. No shame, stand up for the name, power of God in us, living through us. 3 truths tonight about standing up for the name of Jesus Christ. Number 1 was be faithful, stand up for Christ regardless of the cost. Here's the second one now. Be focused. Trust that God has a plan for your life. Be focused. Trust that God has a plan for your life. Look at verses 9 and 10. These are great verses here. It says, "Share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Because the reason that Timothy and all of us can stand in the power of God is because the grace of God. It's the grace of God that saved us and the grace of God that sustains our life. The emphasis here in verses 9 and 10 is on the saving grace of God and the sustaining grace of God. Paul gives Timothy really the gospel here to encourage him in this. And so again, look at it again. It says, "God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel originated with God. It was his plan, his purpose, his plan, his grace, before he ever created us, before it says, before the ages began. That means before time's eternal, okay? Before the ages began, it was his plan to send his son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God saved us in Christ. We did not save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. His plan, his purpose, his power, as verse 9 tells us, not by our works. God saved us and called us to a holy life. And he did it because of his own purpose and his own grace. How awesome, how loving, how great is our God, how merciful is God to us. We do not deserve the riches of his amazing grace, but he gives them to us freely through his son, Jesus Christ. Do you know that truth tonight? That the only way to be saved from your sin, from the wrath of God coming on sin, is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Do you know that truth? Are you assured of that truth? Have you made that commitment? Do you know that he is the way, the truth, and the life? No man comes to the Father but by him. That salvation is found, as Acts 4 says, in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That the testimony is this, 1 John 5, he who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you know that truth, that you cannot earn your way to God, that you cannot work your way to God, that there is not some cosmic balance of the scales, and if I just be a good person, none of us are good or could ever be good enough? Have you made the decision to trust in Christ, admitted that you're a sinner in need of God's forgiveness, believed on Jesus Christ, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, lived the perfect life, fulfilling the law in your place, dying in your place on the cross, right? Jesus in my place, him for me, substitutionary atonement, Christ in my place on the cross. Payment for my sin, dies, third day, raised again, exalted to the highest place that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, amen? Have you made the decision? Have you put the stake in the ground? Have you believed on Jesus Christ and confessed him as the Lord of your life? Admitted your sin, believed on Christ, confessed him as the Lord of your life. If you have, you are saved. If you have not, don't wait another moment. God has brought you into this place to give you that truth tonight. He loves you. Open your heart to Christ. Because through Christ, as it says, we have life, life eternal, and immortality. Death is no longer a threat to you. Sure, we're gonna die physically someday, but death is no longer a real enemy to us because Jesus Christ has defeated it. And you have died through faith and been raised with Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, Les, look, suffering in the Christian life is still very real. Hear me now. So are the promises of God, right? And so the Bible says that Jesus Christ has swallowed up death in victory. He has taken the sting out of it, 1 Corinthians 15:55. Timothy knew this. Do you know that truth? Have you received that truth? Timothy knew it. He was a born-again believer. It's not that Timothy didn't know this. Listen now, he wasn't applying the truth. He wasn't applying it to his life and his ministry and his suffering for the gospel. Do you see how this all ties together now? That amazing grace of God that saved you is the same grace of God that will sustain your life. Here's what Paul's saying. Look, remember your God, Timothy. Remember your God. He saved you before time's eternal. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. Trust him. Be faithful. Remember your God. That's what brings courage. Right? It's Christ in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not myself. Remember your God. And I love this section and I love these truths because they are so amazing and so practical for us as men. Look, the same God that saved you without your help is the same God that will uphold your life without your help. That means you don't have to order and arrange your life for its own protection. You don't have to worry about it. God has you. God has it. God has your life. You don't have to worry. You can be anxious for nothing, as it says. Look, he's saying, Timothy, what are the chances that God would save you and then leave your life to chance? Not a chance. He has it. Remember your God, Timothy. Guys, remember your God. Exercise your gifts and stand up for Christ and don't be ashamed and don't back down and hold your ground and just be faithful to share lovingly about Jesus Christ and to associate and identify with him. He has this. He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. Timothy needs to stay focused on God and trust in God's plan for him, and so do we. In fact, you could look at suffering. Right? Many of you maybe could stand up and give testimony of how you've suffered. Here's the thing. That might be confirmation that you're actually doing things right. Amen. Suffering for him means we're also in great company. The Apostle Paul, or how about the other apostles that actually, it's hard to believe this faith, it's written in Acts, that they actually rejoiced after being beaten, that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. What amazing faith. And so what should we be afraid of? Jesus covered us in his grace. He will sustain you in his grace. We can stand up for the name. I love what Oswald Chambers said. To quote him, he said, to choose to suffer means that there's something wrong. But to choose God's will, even if it means suffering, is a very different thing. No healthy saint ever chooses suffering. He chooses God's will, as Paul did, whether it means suffering or not. And you remember 1 Peter 4:19, it says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. So question, is there anything in you that you're trying to protect yourself? Trying to live maybe a timid life or a comfortable life, don't want to extend yourself, don't want to reach out there, don't want to stand up for Jesus. You're just kind of leaving it alone. Are you trusting in God's plan for your life? Are you trusting that he has a plan and a purpose in all of your life, even if it means suffering for you? Are you relying on his grace? Are you standing up for his name? Regardless of what the cost is. No shame, stand up for the name. Don't be ashamed, Timothy, of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us, Timothy, and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and his own grace, which he gave us in Jesus Christ before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So if you were killed for Christ, so what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Three truths about standing up for the name of Christ. Be faithful. Stand up for Christ regardless of the cost. Be focused. Trust that God has a plan for your life. And now number three, be wise. Learn from the example of others. In an effort here, guys, now to motivate Timothy, Paul's going to use some real life examples. And first, he's going to hold up his own life. As example number one, he's going to hold up his own life and his own ministry in verses 11 to 14. And then in verses 15 to 18, he's going to give two other examples. He's going to give the negative example of Phygelus and Hermogenes who were ashamed, and he's going to give them the positive example of the one who was not ashamed, Onesiphorus. That's how this all now ties together in these verses. And so let's start at verse 11. He goes on to say this now. He says, "For which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." Verse 15, "You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know the service he rendered at Ephesus." The Apostle Paul was called by Jesus Christ himself on the Damascus Road. He was divinely commissioned by Christ to preach Christ, to herald the gospel of God's grace in Christ. And for all of this, Paul suffered very much. In fact, in Acts 9:16, Jesus says this. He says, "I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." But here's the thing. In all of the suffering, in all of the persecution, in all of the hardship, in all of the difficulty, even unto death, Paul was not ashamed. He was not ashamed of Christ. He says that in verse 12, "But I am not ashamed." But I, he says, am not ashamed. Say that. But I am not ashamed. But I am not ashamed. He knew that he was going to suffer, and he just wanted to be found faithful by God. It's why in Philippians 1, he says it too. He says, "It's my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." He's saying this to Timothy. "Timothy, look. Look at my suffering. Look at my hardship. Look at the difficulties. Look at the persecution. Look at the beatings, the chains, the imprisonments. Man, I was cold. I was naked. I was hungry. I was sleep deprived. Timothy, look at all this. Do you think I'm ashamed? Do you think I somehow regret this? Timothy, do you think I'm embarrassed by this? No way." He's like, I rest in these shackles. Why? Because they're visible and physical reminders that I lived a life sold out for Jesus Christ. The fact that Paul is on death row for Christ doesn't mean that he wasted his life. It actually means that he lived it. And he's saying, follow my example, Timothy. Follow me in this. Stand for Christ. Suffer well for the gospel. Learn from my example. Paul here again gives Timothy the reason why he can stand tall, why he can be unashamed. It's through the power and presence of God in our life. No faking, no muscling. This is God in us again. Look at verse 14. Remember up in verse 8, he said, share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. In verse 14, he says it like this, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. You see, there, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And then verse 12, as I already read, is one of the best in all of the chapter. He says, but I am not ashamed. Why, Paul? For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. I love that. I know whom I've believed, right? His boldness rooted in his identity in Christ. I know whom I have believed. The Greek word there carries the connotation of this, complete certainty. I am fully assured, complete certainty. I know whom I have believed. This is astonishing faith by Paul. And this really is the example of all examples to Timothy. And so Paul's basically saying that he's completely convinced that God will guard what's been entrusted to him from God until the day of Jesus Christ's return and his final judgment before God. So he's unashamed. He's filled with faith. And listen, he wants Timothy to be in that very same place. Just like that. Follow me as I follow Christ, he said. Whatever you've heard and seen and learned from me, what, put that into practice. Do that. Unashamed, filled with faith. Look, guys, we know it. There's so much power in a life lived well for Christ. So much power in a godly example lived out. In fact, I was reading this week that a British preacher, G. Campbell Morgan, he once received a letter from a man who was converted under his ministry. And the man spoke of coming into the church as a boy, neglected and hungry. And as he listened to the great preacher, he resolved that he too would like to become a preacher of the gospel. Well, the boy eventually did grow up to be a pastor, and so did his son. And the letter G. Campbell Morgan received at that date said this: "From that night, you became my great human ideal. I think I've read every book that you've written. I placed your picture on the flyleaf of my Bible, and I've never stood up to preach without first turning to look upon it. It somehow is a great reminder and a help to me. God has used you in my life so greatly." The power of example, the power of a life well lived. And listen, guys, we all have more influence than we know. The power of a life fully sold out, unashamed for Christ. And so R. Kent Hughes said it like this in his commentary. I love this. He said, "What Paul was doing here by letter was extending his apostolic hand out of his Roman prison cell, across the boot of Italy, across the Adriatic Sea, across Greece, across the Aegean Sea, to Ephesus, and was beckoning Timothy to join him in standing unashamed while suffering for Christ. And his hand still reaches out through the centuries to Christ followers today." Guys, let's stand up for the name of Jesus Christ. Let's follow the example of our Lord. Let's follow the example of Paul, who lived a godly life, who we can read about in the scriptures. Now let's look at these final couple examples. First, I want to give you the negative example as we go into verse 15 of Phygellus and Hermogenes. Verse 15, "You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Okay? These were men that deserted Paul. These were men that showed themselves as those who were ashamed of the testimony of Christ. They didn't finish well. And obviously, Timothy must have known them, because it says, "You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me." And so he's basically saying, remember the guys in Asia who turned away from me? Yeah, don't be like that, Timothy. Don't be like that. Don't be like the ones that were ashamed and who abandoned me, who are ashamed of Jesus Christ. Not like that. Don't follow their example, Timothy. Now he gives the positive example, the example of courage, the example of being brave and standing up, not ashamed of Christ. Verse 16, "May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus." The positive example, Onesiphorus was not ashamed of Paul. He was not ashamed to go and to seek out Paul and to minister to Paul, to identify himself with him and with Christ. He didn't desert Paul. He befriended him in his time of need. He didn't run away and scatter, but he came to him. This was the example that Paul wanted Timothy to see of courage, of bravery, of being unashamed for Jesus Christ. And so Paul's basically saying, look, I'm suffering for Christ. And Timothy, you know, others are too. We're suffering for Jesus Christ. Don't be like the guys that deserted me. Instead, be like the one who stood up for Christ and found me in the face of persecution. Whose side will you pick, Timothy? Right? Hall of shame or hall of fame of faith, Timothy? Which side do you want to be on? Choose this day. Will you be ashamed to stand up for Christ, or will you be found faithful? Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And I just want to say this. One of the things that was kind of ringing in my heart as I put this together was this. Like, if this section is about following wise examples and looking at other men who are living a godly life, that would give us courage, right, and an example, then, guys, we have to be close enough to other godly men to follow. Like, we have to be connected. We have to be willing to open up our life and let others speak into our life. Right? Be willing to look at the godly example of others and then let others look at our godly example from generation to generation. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise will grow wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. And so, be faithful. Stand up for Jesus Christ regardless of the cost. And be focused. Trust that God has a plan for your life. He's got this. He has you. He loves you. He's sovereign. He's in control. And be wise. Learn from the example of other godly men around you, learning from both the positive and the negative examples. So I want to close with this. If you've seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, then you know the charge given to Private James Ryan towards the end of the movie. In fact, I got a picture there that I'm going to have him throw up. And many of you recognize that scene there, kind of the final scene with Hanks and Matt Damon. And as Captain John Miller, Tom Hanks, sits dying on the bridge with his last words, right, he whispers to Private James Ryan. He says this, he says, James, earn this. Earn it. And obviously what he's saying what? Live a life worthy, James, of all of the men that sacrificed their life to come and rescue you. Listen, guys, make your life count. Of course, we could never earn what Jesus did for us. We could never earn that. But look, we can live a life totally committed and dedicated to him, standing tall for him, unashamed, standing up for the name. Live a worthy life. Live a life worthy of the one who what? Made the ultimate sacrifice and rescue for us. That while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. It was him for me. May we now be able to say what? Me for him.